Can I just say, don't you love the banjo in church? Amen. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Glory to you, Lord Christ. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, and said to them, "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb and we don't know where they've laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he didn't go in. Then Simon Peter came, following him, and went into the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there and the face cloth which had been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen cloths, but folded up in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went in, and he saw and believed. For as yet they did not understand the scripture that he must rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to their homes. But Mary stood weeping outside the tomb. And as she wept, she stooped to look into the tomb. And she saw two angels in white sitting where the body of Jesus had lain, one at the head and one at the feet. They said to her, "Why, woman, why are you weeping?" She said to them, "They've taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him." Having said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing, but she didn't know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father, but go to my brothers and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went and announced to the disciples, "I have seen the Lord," and that he had said these things to her. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Christ. As we remain standing, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have conquered death, risen from the grave, and that you offer us life eternal. We praise you for this gift. We receive it with joy. We ask that you would strengthen and encourage us with this hope today. In your name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. You may recall that the Gospel of John, it begins with one of the most memorable opening lines in the entire canon of literature. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made." In two sentences, he takes in the whole sweep of the universe, the creation of matter, the advent of time. That's how John begins the story of Jesus. How does he bring that story to a climax 20 chapters later? By turning all of his attention onto a single woman. It's an incredible shift. With an event of cosmic significance in his hands, John chooses to recount the resurrection of Jesus and the defeat of death in the most personal way imaginable, through the eyes of a single startled woman. Why? I think he's trying to tell us something. He wants us to see that even though Jesus' resurrection has cosmic impact, it also has intensely personal significance for each one of us. He wants for us to walk with Mary through that awful, glorious morning so that we might know the power of Jesus' resurrection for ourselves. You know, it's not too much of a stretch to say that Mary Magdalene was one of the most loyal of Jesus' disciples. She was not numbered among the 12, but she had followed Jesus since the earliest days of his ministry when he had healed her from demon possession. 10 of the 12 disciples had abandoned Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane when he was arrested. Only one that we know of was present at the cross. The rest were either too terrified of the Romans or too troubled in spirit to be there. The Gospels tell us, however, that a group of faithful women were at the cross, and one of them was Mary Magdalene. When Jesus' body came down from the cross in the surreal darkness of Friday afternoon, it was she, along with Joseph of Arimathea and a few others, who placed his body in the tomb. And Matthew tells us that as Joseph of Arimathea rolled the heavy stone across the face of the tomb, Mary was watching. Mary from Magdala was always there, watching and waiting and seeking Jesus. It's now Sunday morning, the first day of the week, the third since Jesus has been killed. The day begins in the murky darkness before dawn as Mary gropes her way beyond the city walls to the tomb. Upon arriving, there's just enough light for her to see the black mouth of the open grave, the heavy stone lying nearby. Fearful that the grave has been robbed, Mary sets off at a sprint to find Peter and John. "They've taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we don't know where they've laid him," she breathlessly reports. Well, without waiting to learn more, Peter and John set off to the tomb on a sprint of their own, with Mary lagging behind. By the time she reaches the grave for a second time, the men appear to have come and gone. Still, there are no answers. Overcome with grief, confusion, and despair, Mary stands in the garden and simply weeps. When finally she dares to glance inside the tomb, she's greeted by two angels who ask her earnestly, "Woman, why are you weeping?" Well, she replies, but then another voice, this time behind her, repeats the question, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" She turns to answer, failing to recognize him until he speaks her name, Mary. And that's when realization explodes across her face, and leaping into Jesus' arms, she cries out, "Teacher!" When Mary meets Jesus in the garden, she is a slobbering wreck. She doesn't even recognize him, most likely because her eyes are so clouded with tears. She is in no shape to meet the living Word of God and the Lord of the universe, and yet he comes to her. He finds her. The first thing that we learn from walking with Mary on Easter morning is that Jesus meets us in our weeping. Jesus meets us in our weeping. The risen Lord is not out there combing creation in search of a few perfect men and women who are worthy enough to be counted as his followers. He is here today to meet with those who mourn, to stand with those who are confused, to catch hold of those who are broken down by exhaustion and despair. You know, most people think that God wants something from them, that he expects something of them, that we need to earn his favor to win his respect, that if we don't measure up to his perfect standard, he'll drop us for someone better. But Jesus shows us something different. God's love for the inconsolable, his affection for the heartbroken. And he doesn't just offer words of encouragement or empty assurances that everything's going to be okay. He offers himself. He offers his risen body as a testimony to the power of God and as a promise. There is life after death. Come to me, I will share it with you, and I will wipe your tears away. Jesus meets us in our weeping. That is the first thing we learn by walking with Mary on Easter morning. Of course, there's more. Mary spent that morning running back and forth from tomb to town, seeking answers, looking for help. She didn't even really know what she was looking for, a missing body, grave robbers, the other disciples. She was overwhelmed and she was confused. Most of us, we make our way through life searching for something, It may be the next great business opportunity or a major goal that we've set for ourselves. You may be looking for peace, for love, for answers to those questions that keep you up at night. You may not be looking for anything in particular, just painfully aware that something's missing. And when you think that you might have found that elusive something, when you think you've got it, there's no more shocking realization than the realization that you are still restless, that something is still missing, that you still haven't found what it is that you're looking for. That's because what you need is not romantic love or success or wealth or even answers. What we all need is a restored relationship with the God who made us. We human beings, we are restless by nature because we have been rebellious since birth. In the garden at creation, Adam and Eve declared their independence from God. They sought their own way in the world. That led to frustration, to violence, and to death. We are heirs of their rebellion. All of our restless wandering and all of our seeking for that elusive something, they follow the same pattern and end up at the same place, death. But here we are on the day of resurrection, once again in a garden where God goes walking. He seeks a woman stricken by grief and uncertain of what she's looking for. And what does he do? He calls her by name. In John's gospel, every time Jesus appears after his resurrection, the focus, it zooms in onto a specific individual, Mary, Thomas, Peter, and eventually John the writer himself. John's attention at this point in the story, it's not on some cosmic display of glory, but on the intensely personal power of an encounter with the risen and living Jesus. The answers that we seek and the assurances that we long for, they can't be found anywhere but in the risen Jesus, who stood with us in life, in suffering, and in death. Mercifully, he didn't stop at death. He defeated it. And then he came looking for us in the power of his resurrection, eager for us to join him in a restored relationship with God the Father. When Jesus said, Mary, it was an affirmation and an invitation. He loved her. He wanted her to be with him. Like Mary, Jesus calls each of us by name. He loves you. He wants to be right with you. He's risen from the dead, and he longs to restore each of us to a relationship with God. Well, how do we accept this gift? By turning to him in faith, by receiving his offer of forgiveness, acknowledging our rebellion and repenting of our sin, by recognizing that all of our restless wandering has actually been in search of him. Jesus finds us in our seeking, and he calls us each by name. That's the second thing we learn from walking with Mary on Easter morning. But the story doesn't end when Mary leaps into Jesus' arms with joy. Don't cling to me, he says. He then explains, go to my brothers and say to them, I'm ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. You know, never before in John's gospel has Jesus referred to the disciples as his brothers. They are friends, they are followers, they are disciples, they are not brothers. But now that he has risen from the dead, these friends have been invited into a new relationship with God. He is now their father, just as he is Jesus' father. And Jesus is now their brother. Those who have met the risen Lord are given a mission to share this good news with those around them. Mary is sent to the disciples. The disciples are sent to the nations. We are sent to our friends, our coworkers, our families. And what we share, it's not a religion. What we share is the way home, the beginning of a new creation, the end of our wandering. We share the promise of no more tears, the joy of being found, the power of a life that death can't keep down, a restored relationship with the risen Lord of the universe, and the invitation to call him Father. Jesus meets us in our weeping. He finds us in our seeking, and he calls us each by name. And then he sends us out to proclaim the good news that he has indeed risen from the dead. That's the last thing we learn from walking with Mary on Easter morning. You may be weeping this morning. You may be seeking. You may not know what you want or who you're looking for. Whatever state you are in, the risen Jesus is calling you by name and inviting you here and now to be restored to God through faith in him. At this moment of cosmic importance, when death has been defeated and the world turned upside down, that is what John wants you to see. It is profoundly personal. The climax of the gospel story is what we choose to do with it. Let me pray for us. Lord Jesus, we praise you that you have defeated death, that you have found us in our weeping, that you have sought us in our seeking, that you have called us by name and given us good news that changes the course of history. We praise you for our salvation. And we lift up your name as the name that brings hope to every heart and every nation. Amen.